Today we're going to study a fascinating tshuva, a fascinating responsa by the Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles, which was, I think, very significant in the halachic world for a number of reasons. Now, who was the Rama? Who was Rav Moshe Isserles? He was a Polish rabbi. He was a philosopher. He was a halachic authority. He was born in Krakow about 1520. He died there on May 1st, 1572. He established a large yeshiva and, being a wealthy man, supported his students at his own cost. He was an ordained rabbi. He was named as one of the three dayanim to form the rabbinate of Krakow. And at that point in time, the community had not as of yet a chief rabbi, an av beis din. He composed svarim in all areas of Judaic studies, in halacha, agada, kabbalah, philosophy, biblical commentary, and even astronomy. And he believed that halachic codes were vital to the halachic system, and he wrote the Mapa, which was a gloss to Rav Yosef Cairo's Shulchan Aruch. And the reason is that Rav Yosef Cairo did not discuss a substantial portion of opinions of halachic authorities, particularly Ashkenazic authorities, in his halachic work, in his Shulchan Aruch. And Rav Yosef Cairo's conclusions were inconsistent with many of the accepted practices in Germany and Poland. And Rav Yosef Cairo based his decisions on the majority opinion among the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, which essentially was the, for the most part, the Sephardic view. And it wasn't based on later Ashkenazic authorities of the 13th and 14th and 15th centuries. And the Rama cited those opinions in his glosses to the Shulchan Aruch. With his Hagos, with his glosses to the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama completed the authoritative code of the halachic system. Now you had a work, Shulchan Aruch and Rama, that was essentially accepted by world Jewry for the most part, this work. But he also wrote teshuvos. He also wrote responsa literature. And there's a story behind the tshuva, Simon Kuf Chaf He. He writes, Veshma charai kol rash gadol asher heviru kol b'machana lemor, or lomar habitu achrei Moshe. I heard a large thunderous sound that was being voiced in the camp to say, look and see what's happening with Moshe. Namely, a lot of people were making noise about what this Moshe, Rav Moshe Isserles, did. B'maisa hanasa al yedei mikarov shesidarti kidushin tachas achupa kederach aretz. That Rav Moshe Isserles did something unusual. He arranged a kiddushin, a wedding ceremony with a chuppah. V'ahoya b'ishon laila b'leil Shabbos k'sho mechza b'laila. What was so unique? He officiated a wedding about an hour and a half into Shabbos, Friday night. And v'amaisa v'asipa asher v'siba asher hichrichudi lozehu mavur nigla l'chol bo yishari redu. And the story and the reason which forced me to do this was explained to all those who come to the gates of our city. Vizeha Maisa Shanasa. And he's going to tell the story that led him to officiate a wedding on Friday night. And here is the story. Isha Ya Ba'aret, there was a man in the land, Vitama Kesav Mimenu, and he did not have any money left. Vishidech Bito Gedola Leben Zugarla, but he arranged the shidduch for his probably oldest daughter to a young man. Vahibime Shiduchad was in the time of the Shiduchim, after the wedding was set, or the shidduch was set, but before the actual wedding. Sha'ara Chazman and Kinisasa Lechupa. It was a long time between when the shidduch was set and the chupa, halacha of lo lomo, v'niya chayim l'chol Yisrael. Unfortunately, the father died. V'nishara bashchula v'agamuda elo avaim, and the daughter was left forlorn. She had no father or no mother. Kim krovim nasu la rechokim ve'limo ineha mimenu. And her relatives suddenly became distant from her, and they removed their eyes from her. They were uninterested in taking care of her. Zulasi goel echad ache ima asheich nisa lebeso ki ein la goel krovi met. Except there was one uncle that took care of her. Vayakasher bas ba bayamim zman nisueha. It was time for her wedding to take place. Shehar haya royally tvoch teva fachin tzarchi achupa, that the time was to make the meal, prepare all the needs of the chuppah. Lo rasa shum tumnas hanidonim shor tzrachim. She didn't see the picture of the dowry, of what was going to be with the dowry or other needs. Zulasi kol echad abala shetitbo v'tochid atzva lachasna lachatuna kiyeh lo hanidonja. She heard a voice, presumably it was her uncle, telling her, don't worry, it'll be okay, just go to the mikvah. The dowry will be forthcoming. And the young girl did what the neighbors told her to do. She listened to them. Gam kisu osa biyom vav behinuma kederecha basulos. And they put a veil. She dressed up in her wedding gown, like all the young girls. And this was on a Friday, because it was often very cheap or inexpensive to have a wedding on a Friday. Because why? Because the wedding meal could be, you can double dip. The wedding meal could be the same meal for your Friday night Shabbos meal. Sometimes people couldn't afford both. So she was supposed to get married on Friday. She went to the mikvah, she put on her wedding gown, and now it was time to get married. But what happened? And it was almost time for Shabbos. It was time for her relatives to give the dowry. They closed their hands, and they did not, and there was lacking, and they did not give the money for the dowry. About one third of the dowry was missing. The chassan was not willing to go through with the wedding. He didn't listen to leaders of the town. He said, don't embarrass this Bas Yisrael, this young girl, because of some disgusting money that's missing. No, he wouldn't listen to them. And basically, there was fighting, the tshuva goes on. There was kitatos and rivos, so the time continued. There was fighting, squabbling over this wedding, over the financial arrangements. And essentially, eventually they were able to arrange a financial setup that was agreed to by all. And this, apparently, the negotiations were concluded about an hour and a half after Shabbos began. And says the Ramav, Shalo Levayish Bas Yisrael Haguna, and so as not to embarrass an appropriate Bas Yisrael, Kamti Visidarti Akidushin Bismananal, says the Ramah, I arranged and I officiated the wedding on Friday night. And now he's going to explain why, the reasons why he officiated the wedding. And first, he explains that when the Gemara tells you that you're not supposed to get married on Shabbos, so there is a discussion amongst the Rishonim, and there seems to be a view within Rabbeinu Tam, who seems to say that the halacha, the rabbinic prohibition of not getting married on Shabbos, does not apply, this only applies to a man who has, who already has children. But if he doesn't have children, then he can get married. There was no gzeir against it, because after all, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Puravu. This was the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that you can get married on Shabbos because if you still haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Puravu, because it's a mitzvah. Now, this was a singular opinion, but the Rama says that number one, we have this Rabbeinu Tam. And this was a Shas HaDachak. It was a pressing situation. It would be embarrassing to the young girl if she'd wait with the chuppah until all the way till Sunday, because he says that it's not appropriate to do the wedding, first of all, on a Sunday, because the Christians did their weddings on Sunday. And he says, you can rely on Rabbeinu Tam under pressing circumstances. That's the first point that he wants to make. Now, why is there an Isser Drabbanan to begin with? Okay, so maybe there's an Isser Drabbanan of getting married on Shabbos because it's like a kinyan on Shabbos, or it's a gzeira that you can't do this kind of transaction, which is what the Kiddushin is in some sorts. That is a gzeira shema yichtov, you might write, should someone argue. But the Rama writes that there's a Gemara which says, I believe in Gemara in Brachos, he says, Gadol kavod abrios shedocha iser lotase de lotaser. That the Gemara tells you that the kavod abrios for concerns of human dignity, that overrides the Torah prohibition of lotaser, of not listening to the rabbis, meaning that rabbinic prohibitions can be, you can override the rabbinic prohibition when there are human dignity concerns. Now, when does that apply? Does kavod abrios, does any amount of kavod abrios override any issur d'rabbanan? So the Rama argues that this situation of kavod abrios, the human dignity that we want to afford to the kala who's waiting to get married, that should override the rabbinic prohibition of getting married on Shabbos. And he says that the whole issue of potentially, he says that maybe some want to argue that there's a difference between Kiddushin and Kenisa L'chuppah, that maybe when Rabbeinu Tam is leaning it, that's only when it comes to Kiddushin. Because that's sort of like a kinyan. Because Kiddushin is not a real kinyan. It's just an agreement that the husband and wife are going to get married. And at that point in time, if the husband and wife want to get divorced, want to separate, then husband has to give his wife a get. But there's no real formal financial obligation when that arises from Kiddushin. But he says maybe Rabban Kamam alive is sleeker Rabbi Nai alive, but Ula Yesh Lachalik bin Kiddushin the Knesset L'chuppah. That maybe Rabbeinu Tam will say fine for Kiddushin, you can get married on Friday night, but not Knesset L'chuppah. Devshet Shehu L'chuli Am Aser. Maybe it's forbidden according to everyone to have Knesset L'chuppah, to have a chuppah ceremony on the second stage, which is Nisuin. On Shabbos, why the Hakona Osa Lakama Devarim Sheisha Nikneis Lahem Veviki Kona Kinyan Bishabbos She Osa Lachatchil Chuliyama? That maybe Chuppah, that's actual Kinyan. That's not like a Kinyan because when there's Chuppah, when the husband and wife get married and there's a chuppah, so that triggers real financial obligation. So maybe Rabbeinu Tam is only lenient by kiddushin, that you can get married, you can have kiddushin on Friday night if the husband hasn't filled the mitzvah of puravu. But when it comes to nisuin, maybe then he wouldn't be lenient. So in response to this argument, he says four things. He makes four points. First, he says chada ki be'emes. Kula zu chumrahi. You want to be machmir, say that we should be stringent, and say that by nisuin we should be strict, and maybe by kiddushin we can be lenient, but by nisuin we should be strict. This chumrah will end up being a kula. Sheyesh shahoy kama kil kuli mihoyu nisuin, because we're going to be lenient when it comes to the mitzvah of puravu, right? We're going to be lenient when it comes to, in other words, we're going to be overly lenient. And we're not going to be strict when it comes to the mitzvah of Puravu. We're not going to be overly strict when it comes to the kavod or brios of the kala. In other words, what the Ramah writes is sometimes we're so into being machmir and machmir and machmir, but we don't realize that when we're machmir in one direction, we may be makil, lenient, in another direction. That when we're machmir for strict when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, but then we're being lenient on the mitzvah of Puravu, that they can't get married and fill the mitzvah of Puravu, because maybe something will happen with the wedding. I mean, if they don't get married now, who knows what will happen? Or maybe the kala will be embarrassed. So you want to be so strict about the Issur Rabbanan of Shabbos, but what about the kavod of Rios? And that's a very important point that the Rama makes, is that sometimes when we're so focused on Chumrah in one area, well, what about Kula in a different area? For example, the briskers are very strict on Pikuach Nefesh when it comes to Shabbos. We don't say, oh, you're being lenient on Hilchos Shabbos. No, you're saying that you're being strict on the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh. So that's the first point, that it's very easy to say that we're being machmir, but then we have to know what's a Chumrah and what's a Kula. And the Ramah is saying, don't say that I'm being makil on Hilchos Shabbos by officiating this wedding. No, I'm being machmir on the kavod abrios of the kala. I'm being machmir the mitzvah of Puravu. The second point he makes is that we don't find Rishonim distinguishing between Kiddushin and Nisuin regarding this leniency because of the mitzvah of Puravu. And the third point he makes, okay, and so he makes that point also. And then he makes another fascinating point. And he says, Umali laharech puchazi ma amadovor b'chol makom. And he says, let's see what the minhag is. Let's see what the practice is. And he says, v'prapi reina sheyesh ba kibbutz am. U'lifamim osim heyo vav chupos b'yomechad v'nim shachim ad alaylan. And he says, sometimes there are 5 or 6 weddings that take place on Friday, and some of them actually continue until the nighttime. And no one says anything. So in other words, what he's saying is that sometimes in our community, it seems that our community is practicing like Rabbeinu Tam, that sometimes, let's say they schedule 5 or 6 chuppahs, I guess one after the other, on a Friday, and sometimes the wedding ceremony or the weddings may take place a few minutes at night, even after the night began. And he writes, "Umali bitchilas alaylo osho obeys balaila." What's the difference if it was a few minutes at night after night started, or an hour or two after night started? Bottom line is, minhag in our community, we've seen that people are getting married Friday night, so presumably, seems that the minhag in our community seems to be following Rabbeinu Tam, maybe. And what's fascinating is this is a difference between Ashkenaz and Sfard, that very often there's a tension between minhag and halacha. If the halacha seems to be like X, but the minhag, the custom, is not to follow what seems to be the halacha based on reading the Gemara and earlier Rishonim. So what's fascinating is that on the one hand, Sfardim aren't as deferential to Minhag. Rav Avadia Yosef is famous for saying that sometimes if you mix up the letters in Minhag, you get Gehenim. And sometimes Minhagim are wrong. But Chachmei Ashkenaz are very deferential to Minhag. That sometimes if there's a Minhag and we don't know the reason, maybe we just forgot what the reason is. Or maybe the Minhag creates the Halacha. And there are a number of examples throughout Tosvos, through Masadesh and other Ashkenazi Rishonim that are very deferential to Minhag, even when the Minhag seems to go against the simple reading of the Gemara and perhaps earlier sources. So that's another point that the Rama has in his back pocket. He says, number one, you have Rabbeinu Tam, and there's no reason to distinguish between Kiddushim and Nisuim. We don't find many Rishonim distinguished. Number two, we have, you think that we have to be Machmir of kavod abrios machmer like puravu. And also, we had there's a minhag in our community that sometimes people are getting married Friday nights. And then he says ela emesh etzorach hashah mevi lahakel bidvarim elu she'enem ela isud rabbanon. But because of the needs of the time, we need to be lenient when there's only isud rabbanon v'makom atchak lo gazru. And he says it's not even isud rabbanon. There's the rabbis didn't even make a decree under pressing circumstances. It's not like there's an isser, there's a prohibition, and, well, we want to be lenient because it's a pressing circumstance. No, Chazal didn't even make the decree under pressing circumstances. They only made the decree of not getting married on Shabbos in a normal situation. And he says, obviously, Vadesh the Hachman Leo Zrizim Kodam as Shabbos. Shelo Yovoli Dekach. Obviously, we should be strict before Shabbos, so we should shouldn't lead to this. Aval Im Kvar Nase Masha Efshar Lasos. But if you did all that you could to try to arrange this, Venitfa Shah Shecha Shecha. And what happened that at nighttime, the hour got late till it got dark, and it was beyond your control. If you're afraid that the union is going to fall apart or the kala is going to be embarrassed, you can totally be lenient. You haven't lost anything. That's another point. There's no gzeira to begin with. This wasn't the intention of Chazal to forbid the wedding under these circumstances. And the final point he makes is, he finishes the tshuva by saying, "V'yisaneg l'shalom ba'oneg Shabbos achar kach." You should have an oneg Shabbos afterwards. This is a very interesting psychological point. He says that, again, if your kavanah is l'shem shamayim, you should have oneg Shabbos afterwards. If you tried your best, and due to unforeseen circumstances, you had to get married on Shabbos, don't feel guilty. Sometimes when we rely on a leniency on a kula, we feel guilty. He said, if you did all that you could, there was an unforeseen circumstance, yis'aneg l'shalom ba'oneg Shabbos achachach. You should feel good about yourself. You did all that you could, and you should be happy, and you should have oneg Shabbos. And the aftermath of this tshuva is actually the Ramah's colleagues avoided this problem in the future by forbidding weddings on Friday. Happened to be in Krakow shortly afterwards. There was the custom not to get married on Friday because of this concern, because they didn't like what the Ramah did. Neighboring towns, they did continue to get married on Friday, but not in Krakow. They weren't happy with what the Ramah did, but the Ramah stood by his position. And in fact, the Ramah writes this in Simon Shin Lamentes Ivdalad. He writes that we don't get married on Shabbos, but some allow it. He cites Rabbeinu Tam, that when you didn't fill the mitzvah puravu yet, you can get married. And he said, and even if you can even not only do kiddushin, you can even have the chuppah. And he writes that even though we don't hold like this, under pressing circumstances, you can rely on it because God will cover the brios for situations of human dignity, then you'd be allowed to. And that's what the Rabbah writes. Now, there's a famous legend. Apparently, so they had this custom that they wouldn't get married on Fridays in Krakow. And apparently, there was this legend that had a totally different version of the story. Apparently, there's a square that's fenced in Krakow, and nobody knows why this is fenced in. So there's this legend that says that, why did this happen? So according to the legend, there was a wedding that takes place on Friday. And it's getting close to Shabbos, and the Ramah Shamish goes to the people at the wedding and says, you have to stop the wedding because Shabbos is coming, and they're playing music. And he says, you have to stop because Shabbos is coming, and they don't listen to the Shamish. And then he comes back a little bit later, much closer to Shabbos, and he tells them, you have to stop because Shabbos is coming, you got to stop playing the music, and they don't listen to him. And then it's Mamish sunset, it's nightfall, I'm not sure how the version goes, the Ramah himself comes to the party to the wedding party. And he says, you have to stop. It's Shabbos now. You got to stop the music. And they don't listen to him. They pay no heed to the Ramah. And according to the legend, it's dark already. It's already Shabbos. The music is playing. The Ramah turns to them with a dark eye. He says, anyone who violates Shabbos brings upon himself a death penalty. And at that moment, what happens? The earth opens up and swallows the entire wedding party. So apparently the legend goes that that's why there's this area that's fenced off, because that's where the earth swallowed up the wedding party. And that's why they didn't have any more weddings on Friday, because look what happened. They had a wedding on Friday and they were Machal Shabbos. And what's fascinating is, according to the legend, the Gadol Hador, the Ramah, is someone who is so particular about Chilul Shabbos that he curses, as it were, people who violate Shabbos so that the earth swallows them up. But in reality, the real story is what we saw in the Tshuva. The real story of a Gadol Hador is care so much about human dignity of the Kala that he's even willing to set aside a rabbinic prohibition such that there'll be Shalom Bayis and the Kala can get married and she won't be embarrassed. And why is this tshuva so significant? It's in the world of halacha. Number one, it's significant because it tells us that you need to know when you're pasking halacha, what's the kula and what's the chumrah. Now, sometimes when we say just be machmir, be machmir, be machmir, you have to look at the other side. If you're machmir on Shabbos, maybe you're going to be mekel on kavod abrios, on puravu. So it's very important to, whenever we're deciding to be machmir, we have to understand what are we gaining and what are we potentially losing. Second important point of the tshuva is he takes very seriously what's done in practice. Puk chazi mai amadavar. Number three, he shares with the position that sometimes if there's an issur derabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition, and when there's a pressing circumstance, maybe there's not even a decree to begin with. And number four, more of a psychological point, but a very important psychological point, that if we try our best to follow halacha and there is an unforeseen circumstance because of which we cannot observe halacha in the ideal form, but we tried our best, so then it's okay. We have to strengthen those and give chizik to those who unfortunately at times they can't do what the ideal halachic practice because of unforeseen circumstance. For them, they should still be happy. They should still celebrate. They should still have Onik Shabbos if they have to break Shabbos for whatever reason, or they have to override a Shabbos prohibition for an important reason. Don't feel bad. If you did your best, you could still celebrate Shabbos with all your glory. So these are very important points, and this is why it's a very important tshuva in how we understand and how we practice the observance of halacha.